Thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you. There is no rock like ours, Lord. You are the rock. You are the one true God. And we thank you for making a way where there was no way for us, but what you did. And ask that your word would go forth, Lord, with boldness, and that it would be received with gladness. In Jesus' name, amen. Or something. Hello. It's not awkward at all, is it? Okay. I'm going to go to Romans 5:3. Actually, I think I'm going to start at 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. There is the tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, is a process in which we all get perfected. And I know myself, I can be very selfish. It's very easy for me to forget where I came from, what the Lord's brought me out of, what he's done for me, that I really am nothing without him. It's very easy for me to judge others in the midst of their struggles, or even myself in the midst of it, and become weary of it. And I was thinking about this this week. It is a process that we all have to pass through. We all have to pass through these things, hopefully to get to the other side, to where we're changed. But this process is one that doesn't always seem pleasant, and it's not pretty. I like things that are pretty. And I don't often like it when things don't look pretty. It's a truth. And it doesn't look pretty on me when I go through this process. It doesn't look pretty on you. It can be ugly. But who am I to judge the process by which the Lord is working a thing out in somebody? What does it really matter if we come through to the other side? Bless you. The Lord came down and died for us on the cross, for his entire creation. And he knows how we are. He did it because of how we are. But because he loved us, he preferred us, our souls, over what he would have to endure on this earth. Do I do that to others? Or do I personally find myself way more oftentimes than I like to admit focusing on having to deal with the person in the struggle? Is that what he did for me? He did it willingly. He laid down his life that I may have life in it abundantly. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I fall really short in this. When I read this, it's very humbling to me. Not easily provoked. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Brad and I have been married for next month 17 years. And through 10 years, about 10 years of that marriage, I had a demon And I didn't know that I had a demon. I knew that there was something wrong with me that was different than what I would call normal people. What is normal? But in my mind, they were normal, and I was clearly one of those crazy people. And, I mean, when I say a demon, I mean violent, yelling at people, throwing things at people. If you even looked at me, or if I thought you looked at me wrong in a Walmart, I would be in your face. And, of course, the person standing there going, I didn't even know you were there, all in my head. It was demonic. So through 10 years of our marriage, I lived in that. And I remember being on Rick's couch and all this stuff just flying out of my mouth, just screaming and yelling at Rick and just all of these awful things coming out. And he looked at me, and I don't remember his exact words, if he said, you have a demon or this is demonic. He clearly pointed out that it was demonic and asked me if I wanted to be freed from it. And I just remember crying out, yes. And he prayed over me, and he came against that thing, and it was gone. And I was no longer that crazy person. And I was reminded of a thing this week as I was thinking about the things I spoke of before. I remember through those 10 years, it was a long time. And I would quite frequently just go off the chain at my husband, anybody who pretty much got in my way. And, you know, I remember the grace and mercy that he had upon me and the hope that he continually had for me for those 10 years in the midst of it. This is a long time to be living with somebody like that. Long time. And I remember I'd fly off the handle. I'd do something crazy. I was well ready to throw blows at any given moment if I thought that was what I needed to do at that moment. Physically, verbally, whatever. Pick up bricks, throw it at a truck. Didn't matter. There were pretty much no limits. I was really concerned I was going to really kill somebody. But through that time, I would fly off the handle and do this stuff, and I would come back and I would repent and I'd say, honey, I apologize for acting that way. And every time I could ever think of, he forgave me as though it never happened and moved on. And then I'd do it again 2 weeks later, and he would forgive me, and we would move on. And over and over and over again for 10 years. And he had that hope for me that whole time. Do I think he probably struggled to stand in that hope sometimes? Yeah, I probably so. But what does it matter? He came back to that hope for me. I remember being on Rick and, a different time, being on Rick and Sue's sofa, and Brad was there, I was there, Rick and Sue, and Rick was confronting me with some things, and I'm yelling and screaming and going off, and their testimony was they were waiting for my head to start spinning and green puke to start come out. Never did, but. And I just got mad and I stomped out and slammed the door. And Brad, after I left, Brad said to Rick, he said, well, I think that went pretty well. And Rick and Sue's testimony of this experience is looking at Brad going, are you kidding me? That went horribly. And you know, you could look at that and you could say, well, he was delusional. But I don't think he was delusional. I see it as somebody who, no matter what he saw before him, no matter how I acted, no matter what my actions were, had a hope beyond me. As my husband, standing in that gospel and presenting it to me. And I haven't actually thought about this for a long time, and I thought about that this week, and I was humbled by that, and how easily I get tired of being around people who are struggling, or even myself struggling. mean, what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He continued in that hope, no matter what he saw, over and over and over again for 10 years, and it eventually bore fruit. When nobody else, no, not a knock to anybody else, but even Rick and Sue kind of looked at me and went, I don't know about all that. I don't know if she's going to get there or not. But he stood. Do I do that for others? Do I extend him that grace and mercy? Do I have that hope for them? Am I loving them? Am I focused on myself and what I have to deal with throughout my day? Because that's not about the Lord. It's about me.
Thinking about struggles too today, otherwise known as tribulation. And I was thinking about it from the sense of others looking in, how they don't always. I've had it told to me before that it doesn't appear as though I struggle. Would have been nice to switch places with someone last week, but. We certainly all struggle. All of us. Every single one of us. Down, from Davy all the way down, we all struggle. It just looks different on each of us. Some, and that's where we go into the tribulation, worketh patience, and patience experience and experience hope. We don't see the struggles that maybe Davey or Steve or Megan, I can go through a whole list of people. We don't see their struggles because they have that patience and that experience and that hope. And in the midst of the struggle is where we're all different. In the midst of that struggle, are we sitting there and just sinking deeper into our own little pile of dung? Or are we trying to get out? Do we recognize it immediately, what's going on, why it's going on, and what we need to do about it? And are we saying, Lord, I apologize, get me out of this. And I've realized, I knew this all along, but talking with Phil last Sunday and then thinking on it these past few days, it's It's one thing to recognize that you're struggling, to know what the struggle is, and to know what you need to do to fix it. And I was telling him, when I see things or when I recognize a thing, I immediately repent of it, and I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm obedient. But where I fall short is that I have to have that submission. I have to do it with joy. I can't just say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'll do it. And then, as Hope's talked about, I think last week, having the murmurings going on inside of you. Yeah, I'll do this, but I'm not going to like it one bit. I'm not going to say I'm not going to like it because I don't want anyone to look at me weird or come down on me or give me that chastening because I don't like it, but I'm just going to keep it to myself. And that's not where we need to be. It's not a good place. Sometimes it's more comfortable than being all for it because you really just don't want to let go of what your flesh wants. But if we're going to have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to have that joy in serving Him, we have to let go. That struggle is simply us saying, oh, but Lord, my way is so much better. No, you must be wrong. It's us judging the Lord. It's us judging those that He's put in authority over us and their decisions that they have made and shared with us and told us that we need to do. It's our judgment, and it's not a good place to stand in. And when you realize that you're judging God, that's not a good feeling. And that's what it is. We have to let go. The struggle is the Lord trying to rid us of something that He's decided we're ready to be rid of. So it would be so much easier for us to just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, and let go and do it His way and forget our own, because our own is of no worth. It's of no value.
Good evening, everybody. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Amen. Is He your Lord? Are you a good servant to your Lord? Seen movies, read books, kings and knights and things like this. Usually the king's got a servant, and the king tells him what to do. The servant does it. If he doesn't do it, he winds up in this dungeon or tortured or something bad happens to him. Each of us need to examine ourselves. See if we're a good servant to that person we call Lord? And if we're not, we need to fix it. We need to get over ourselves and start serving Him. That first song you sang, it was the second, first or second song, it was, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." That's true. I didn't make the day. You didn't make the day. We can flip back to Genesis chapter 1. We can find out who made day. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. It was Jesus. If this is the day that He has made, and He has made it the way that He wanted it to be made, because I don't think that He makes things that He doesn't want to make. He doesn't mess up, make a mistake. If that's the case, and He's your Lord, and you wake up in the morning with some sort of attitude, all right, maybe I'll hit snooze. And then you get up again after, I don't know, however many snoozes you hit, but you finally get your butt out of bed, and you're still walking around, I gotta go do this. I gotta go get this done. I gotta go. I gotta do. I gotta do. Then you're wrong. You're wrong. That's it. I got nothing else to say about that. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is your job to serve Him. If He created for you a day to serve Him in, rejoice. And be glad in that day. And move forward. Change that attitude. You remember when Peter was walking on the water and his eyes went off the Lord and he started focusing on the circumstances around him and he started to sink? Right? You remember that verse where it says that Jesus has overcome the world? Right? You remember the things we've said about rising above the situation? Right? You take that poor attitude that you got that's doing nothing but focusing on the world and the things around you, right? And you change your altitude and you get up above the situation. And from that view, you can actually see all that's going on around you. And you can start navigating in that space that the Lord's created for you. But if you stay stuck down there in them situations with your poor attitude, with your low altitude, you ain't ever going to make it out. I know when planes are flying and they got low altitude, people are telling them, pull up. Roger, 6147, this is the tower. Pull up. And if they don't pull up, what happens? Bad things, generally. Bad things. You were saying that you like things purdy. You said pretty. I said purdy, just because. And that sometimes in dealing with all this situation, it's ugly. It's messy. It's dirty. It's because you're dealing with it in the circumstances. See, if you were standing in the perspective of Jesus, and you were looking at the situation, and you could see the result, you would see how beautiful it is, how beautiful it could be. And you would have that hope to reach that mark. So until you pull yourself out of the situation, that's all you're going to see is the situation. Is that making sense? And then, like an architect who's building a building, right? He may have all the plans. You may have 16 different work crews out there digging holes and moving rocks and beams up, and somebody drives by and they look at it and they say, oh, what the heck's that supposed to be? But see, the architect that has the plan, he can see the beautiful building with the shrubbery and the flower beds and everything else. He sees the finished product if everybody does what they're supposed to do, if everybody takes care of the business that they need. you can see that completed work, that perfect work, if you have eyes to see. So look at yourselves. Examine where you are. Find those attitudes, those low altitudes, and pull up. Look up and seek Him.
Seems like we're talking about attitudes quite a bit. As we start our lives out, I know back early on in mine, I used to see people, church people, who... If you hang around them long enough, you would see that they were one way in church and they were another way not in church. And, you know, they were fake. And, you know, if somebody who's unchurched can tell you're fake, then it goes without saying that the people that matter in the Lord can tell you're fake. But you know, the only way to keep going through your own heart to keep from being fake isn't just to keep repeating a scripture verse over and over again like you believe it when you really don't. But when you come through a passage like Romans 5, but Romans 5 is a tough passage. And you know that you're walking after the flesh when your prayers stop in midstream, because you know in the middle of the prayer that the way the Lord's going to answer this prayer is with tribulation. And you want Him to intervene, but you just really don't want tribulation at all. And the unfortunate thing is just because you stopped in midstream doesn't mean the tribulation ain't coming anyway. So you may as well have asked that it fix you through it, which is the whole point of why Paul glories in that tribulation. Because that's the way to get to be in the person that the Lord wants you to be. And It's somebody with an attitude that isn't constantly judging the Lord. We go over to John. This then is the message which we have heard of him, John 1 John 1:5. This is the message then we have heard of him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That just simply means I know that he's not just this mean old bearded guy up in the sky that wants to excise pain and suffering into my existence and make it as miserable for me to live as possible. That might be like something I would want to do to somebody, but that's not what he does. Because in him is no darkness at all. He is not evil. His judgments are righteous. His counsel is perfect. And the only way to come to that attitude is to learn of him. To stop being halted in the middle of prayers because you got a little knowledge. You don't have enough knowledge because you don't finish the prayer. The only way to get what you want in that prayer is to go through what it takes to get it. It's a prayer he's willing to answer because he loves you. He wants what's best for you. And every person in every case doesn't take tribulation. But I know me. I know what it took to get here. But one of the judgments that you keep wallowing in, I keep wallowing in, I assume other people do as well, is that I don't know if I can take any more tribulation. I'm right 98% on the tribulation meter now. And that's just not true. That's just everything isn't going my way. That doesn't mean I'm right. It means he's right. It means I'm selfish jerk is what it means. And I'm a penny waste. I don't want to do all this stuff. I want somebody to do it for me. I want somebody else to... That's right. This Jesus died on the cross in my place was a pretty good deal. So anybody that wants to stand in line and do some of this stuff for me, you got a job. No, it was not at all. But it'd feel good for the moment. Profitable? No. This isn't just a little thing. You know, the stuff I'm talking about only occupies a couple of verses and a couple of chapters. But the attitude is paramount. How you greet the day. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm so glad you gave me a chance to be a part of your new creation. That's the attitude that we should be carrying. Everything else is about judging God. That's not profitable. The only judgment you need to have to understand about God is His counsel is wise, his judgments are perfect, and his love is interminable. His mercy endures from generation to generation. His grace endures from generation to generation. He loved you enough to give his only son in your place, to death on the cross. This is not the kind of spirit that's about exercising vengeance and torment on you. This is about somebody who's trying to set you free from that stuff. Yeah, we need a brainwashing because our brain's filthy, dirty, and corrupt and wants to go to the place where we're judging God as being unrighteous and hateful. Absolutely contrary. Not, so far contrary. It's the difference between light and darkness. There is no darkness in our God. He's a light. He is light, and there is no darkness at all in Him. This is the message that will change lives. It will set people free from bondage and give them a crack at eternal life. I'm done.
Praise the Lord. Can y'all hear me? I'm a little low. Okay, I want to move this in. I can get a little louder. But I don't want to get too close. I know I get some popping going on. I start hollering, hooting, dancing around the chapel here sometimes. But, praise the Lord. Those are all some good messages. I was listening to y'all on the way home. Didn't get all yours, Lisa. But, if you take all of what just has been said tonight, it's been a pretty good message, I think. You're talking about struggles there, Mel. You're talking about who do you make your Lord? There, Jesus is Lord. And, it's an interesting thing because we've been reading in Samuel. We've been reading in Samuel quite a bit as a family in our Bible study. And one of the things in Samuel, that comes to that part in Samuel where the people, the elders of Israel, come to Samuel and they say, look, we want a king like other nations to rule and judge over us. And Samuel was displeased in the matter. The Lord tells Samuel, and he goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells Samuel, don't worry, it's not that they've rejected you, it's because they have rejected me. And that they would not have me be their king. And I'm paraphrasing all this. I don't have the scripture open. If I start reading, it could be a very long time. But the point of that is I look and I looked at that scripture and I look at people that call themselves Christians and I look up just among myself. I bring some of the same questions to myself I bring to you as well. Am I making Jesus Christ Lord? Do I want Him to be King over my life? I mean, Paul, you were just talking about in Him is light and there's no darkness at all. And when you choose Him, He's there not to be mean, He's there to set you free. And the trials and the tribulations that come your way are not coming from God. Where does it come from? The enemy comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. His MO is he wants you to think it's God doing it to you. And it's really Him doing it to you. The Lord allows us to go through that tribulation because it strengthens our faith in Him. And see, the thing that happened was when He left, He went to that throne, He gave His power unto who? You. He gave it unto you. And we sit back and I kind of chuckled, Paul, when you sat back and said, I'd love for others to do it for me. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, isn't that how we all are? I mean, we kind of come across a situation. I remember talking with a guy this past week. It was kind of interesting. I was like, yeah, I'd really like to get you on the phone with Steve. I really would like to be here because we were talking about Genesis here. And he's been churched and he goes out of a different word. And it's like, I believe he loves the Lord. I just think he's got a lot of wrong teaching. He's a younger guy. He's younger than I am. And yeah, I mean, but anyways, I mean, praise the Lord. And now when I walked away from all that and we had a good discussion and all that, it's like the Lord's going, what, you don't believe that I will meet you in this, in meeting with this guy? Well, Lord, I guess I don't, Lord. And forgive me for that because you have met me time and time over and over and over again. And that's the thing where we need to come about is, see, look, yes, we have those authorities. You were talking about that direction. And you can murmur and complain at that direction on the inside. You might not show it out. You might be good at covering it up, you know. But it's still there, man. That's the thing we need to get shed of and actually submit unto that. Oh, praise God, that is right. Oh, praise God, that is right. And see, what He wants you to do is He wants to set you free. He wants you to personally experience the freedom. He wants to personally be your king. He wants to personally know you and you to know Him. On a personal level. Yes, we have the authorities. Those authorities are to bring us closer to Him. See, in Philippians, it talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look, I can get as much suggestions. I can give out as much suggestions to help the person go forward or my authority to help me go forward and be free in Christ. But if I don't take heed to those things and walk in it, I won't experience. And whose fault is that? It's only the only person's fault is mine or yours if you don't take heed to it. I mean, praise the Lord, we have that direction. It's cleared out right in front of us. I mean, we can go to our authorities with any situation. And they can suggest it to it, but unless you take heed to it, you submit unto it and trust Him in it, don't expect it to work for you. Don't expect it to work for you. The Lord has laid out the way, but He can't make you walk it. And that's a personal choice. That's a decision that you really have to get down and make. And gosh, if it starts just right on your knees, Lord, I don't have the right attitude. Lord, my heart is not right in this. Lord, and I plead out to You to have, make, create in me that clean heart. Help me to have that mindset. We were talking Tuesday night. Remember that mindset? Just being sold out for Jesus Christ. And if you don't have it, go to the source that can give it. But see, you even going to the Lord with no excuse, nobody else, just you and the Lord, and you going to Him, that's the type of faith that you want it to change. And see, He can change you in that. But it's what you want to submit to. And see what happens so many times we're just like those children of Israel who want a king. And going along down that line in Samuel, it says, look, we want a king so they'll fight the battles for us. We want a king that will do these things for us. They didn't want the responsibility of actually stepping out in faith themselves. And the whole time Samuel's like, you don't know what you're asking for. You're going to be in bondage. They're going to take your children. They're going to take your lands. They're going to take this. I mean, where do you think it's coming from? Do you think just an army and a king's going to jump out of midair? Boom, there it is. You want that in the natural? It's not going to happen. It's going to come from you. And what the Lord wanted to do was be their king and show up mightily for them. And that they have a personal relationship with them. And that they could step out and walk in faith. And see, that's what we're called right now. And it's a beautiful thing. And it wasn't, man, it was just the chapter before that. It was amazing. They come. You know, Samuel tells them to repent. So it says, put away the gods from you. And serve the Lord thy God only. They did exactly what Samuel said. They repented. Then they went to Samuel and they asked for prayer. And they were in bondage to the Philistines. The Philistines were taking over Israel piece by piece by piece by piece. And what you had is the Lord delivered them from the Philistines as the Lord promised that He said He would. Not only did He deliver them, all the lands that the Philistines took, they got back. And see, that's what the Lord wants for us. He wants something far greater. But see, when we don't elect Him as Lord, and we choose that other way, our way, instead of submitting unto Him, what happens is we get all that bondage. We just step out open for the enemy to have free reign on our lives. And things don't get better, they get worse. They get worse. And the thing that the only person that it affects, well, it affects more than just you. It affects those that are around you. It affects what you minister. Because when you're in that place and you're judging God and you're judging those authorities, you have bitterness. And what you minister is you minister bitterness to others. Not love, not freedom, but bondage and hate. The choice is really black and white. It's black and white. I hope y'all guys can see that. I can see it. What choice are you going to make? If you've been making the wrong one, repent. Turn around. And you can't do that. And things will get better. If you've been sold out and have made that choice, as things come up, make it again. Because I guarantee you there's things going to come up. Well, you have to make it again. Actually, got to make it every day. I mean, it's that sin that what so easily besets us. Scott, you were talking about waking up in the morning. I'm like, that sounds very familiar. Sounds real, real familiar. Has he been looking in at me in the mornings? Praise God, it was a beautiful message. Convicting, but praise the Lord, I'm glad you preached it. But he has freedom. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. He's there, his hands out extended. He's just as available, as close as available to you as his hand is. That's what the scripture says. And you see time and time again, the Lord constantly reaching out to the children of Israel. The Lord's constantly reaching out to you guys. Let's take that hand. Let's grab a hold of it. And then when we can get our arms around his body, let's do that too. And don't let go for dear life. Don't let go for dear life. And he wants to work a wonder. He wants to. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Submit unto him. Watch and move, because it's all about him and what he's able to do. It's always been. And every single one of us can have that working in our life. It's just us deciding if we want it bad enough.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.